Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too, at the Team 980. A little bit later on in the show, I got the chance to talk to Dietrich Wise today, the Commanders defensive lineman, new signee for New England. We'll get to that a little bit later, 6:30. Also, there was a big story in the Baltimore Sun yesterday about the, some deep dive reporting into the exit for Kevin Willard at Maryland and Damon Evans, the athletic director. We'll talk to one of the writers who investigated and wrote that piece coming up at 5:30. Right now, though, it's time for Not My Beat. Ben Standig, Commanders beat reporter for The Athletic, joins us. Ben, good to see you today, my friend. Appreciate your time here on the radio this afternoon. How you doing?
Well, Craig, you texted me about an hour ago, and I was already 30 minutes in my drive home. I'm still not home. Traffic was horrendous the American Legion Bridge. So, yeah, so I'm fine, but, traffic today was an abomination.
Well, you should have just stayed and done this in person, hung out with me, Ben, and then you would have been fine. You know, you could have just co-hosted the whole show, and then you probably might have gotten home at the exact same time.
If I had known, that would have been a much better deal. Yeah, fortunately, yeah. I'd already made a pit stop at Chick-fil-A on the way home, so at least I was not starving and stuck in traffic.
That is good. Hangry and in traffic is about my nightmare combination. I just don't know how that gets worse without something truly heinous happening. So I'm happy you were at least fed with some quality chicken. All right. It's a game. You ready for this, Ben? It's a game of chicken between the Commanders and Terry McLaurin. Yeah, that's
nice.
A professional segue.
That's why you're a professional.
Yeah. What have you been able to glean from both sides here on, because that is kind of where I'm at, is like, what's the disagreement? I mean, we just don't really seem to know at this point. Have you been able to glean any information on where the separation is and why this has stretched into mandatory minicamp where McLaurin was not here in Ashburn today?
Yeah, the team is, not talking much as we've seen under Adam Peters. They have typically not put out a ton of information. I don't know if this is the sole reason, but it feels like, and I've talked about this before or written about it a little bit, is ultimately the money is the issue on some level, right? Because, that's what we're talking about. And I feel like the divide there a little bit is the production versus the age. You know, if you look at the top 16 receivers right now, Terry McLaurin is 16th in terms of annual average value. He's like $23.2 million. This is, for the last three-year deal that he had signed back in 2022. And, obviously he's been passed by a lot of other receivers since. And then if you look at the names above him, of those 15 names, only Tyreek Hill is currently older than Terry McLaurin, who turns 30 in September. Now, he's hardly old, right? He's been durable. He doesn't even have that much wear and tear on him relative to the age because, he didn't play a ton at Ohio State on offense. He kind of had to wait his turn a little bit. But I feel like that may be the difference maker, because when you look at some of the names, like where he should be getting paid, like this offseason, DK Metcalf got, high $32 million. T. Higgins signed with the Bengals. He's around, high $28 million. Right? Okay, so somewhere, in between those two guys feels like a reasonable spot based on what McLaurin has produced, his impact on this team, the locker room, all those things. And also, $30 million is right where Brandon Ayuk is. You can make an argument that McLaurin's better Tyreek Hill's at $30 million. Amon-Ra St. Brown's at $30 million. They're all very good. But, you know, is McLaurin right there with them? I mean, you can make the case after the year he just had, or at least, you know, squint hard enough to get you there. But I wonder if that may be as much of the divide as anything, that, you know, it may be an arbitrary number. When you get on the other side of 30 at certain positions, you know, production starts to drop, and wide receiver, you know, can be one of those spots. You know, you start to lose a little bit of speed. As good as Terry is, he's never been like the great separator. That's why he's always getting all these contested catches, because he's not necessarily, you know, running past people. So that to me feels like perhaps a sticking point. Again, I don't know for sure that it's the sticking point, but, you know, in terms of the money, it seems to me it shouldn't be that complicated to slot him somewhere in that $30 million range, unless you're saying, well, the other guys who are in that range are all typically 2 to 3 years younger than you, again, other than Tyreek Hill, and that has to be factored in from the team's perspective, and maybe it isn't from McLaurin's angle.
That certainly feels like it would be something to quibble over. Do you have strong feelings, and are you comfortable giving them, of which side of that argument you think is more valid?
I mean, I guess I can kind of see it from both sides. You know, it's funny, when McLaurin signed his extension back in 2022, and you look, same deal, he skipped some OTAs, he skipped the mandatory minicamp, and then eventually, you know, during the summer, before training camp, he signs the three-year deal, like $71 million roughly. The player at that point had the leverage over the team, because the Commanders, you know, as you may recall, Craig, had nothing but negative press at that point, right?
Yeah.
So, idea of, you know, messing around with Terry McLaurin was, you know, not an option from a fan perspective. And so they got the deal done. I'm not saying it was, you know, he got paid, overpaid. I'm just saying they got the deal done. Here, I mean, look, if the team wants, as much as they've talked about, you know, the culture and all these types of things, it is still a business. Dan Quinn, you know, referenced that today. Sometimes football and business, you know, collide. And, you know, I can see if the team is saying, hey, look, we love Terry McLaurin, but we got Jaden Daniels here. Like, we'll get receivers. Like, we're not worried about guys being able to for him to throw to and get guys open. That's when you have a great quarterback. You don't necessarily have to have the higher end guys. And again, as good as McLaurin is, I mentioned the age. He's not the fastest guy. He's fast for humans, but he's not relatively fast to like the guys who are at the top of, you know, who are the fastest guys in the league. He's definitely not the biggest guy, either in size or bulk. He's a really good route runner. I don't think he's Puka Nacua type guy. So it's like, again, this is if I'm nitpicking it from the team perspective. I can understand that. I guess for me, I just sort of was buying that there would be at least a, like, he's the first guy. Like, they re-signed Sam Cosmi last year, which is fine. But, like, Terry's like the first, like, okay, he's on the poster for this team. Here's our guy. We got to figure this out. And they're, if they don't just, you know, I don't say hand them the money, but if they don't, you know, if they quibble this thing out and they really kind of drag it out, I guess it would be a little surprising based on where I thought things were. But again, if that may just be, hey, the kumbaya part of this is over and now we have to make business decisions, and that's where we're at. So I guess I can see it both ways, not to play the middle. I definitely get where Terry would be coming from, but, you know, age is, you know, father time doesn't lose. So if they think that in, you know, 2 years, this, you know, paying him an average of, you know, $30 million a year doesn't make sense for them, well, that's potentially a viable option. I just, you know, it's hard to say, looking at what Terry has done, that there's a drop-off coming. But how often do you see drop-offs come?
Right.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Standings with us here on the Hoffman Show. Last thing on Terry, then we can get to everyone else. Because I think what you just laid out is the conundrum, and it's why this is so complicated, because it's very easy to point out all of the quote-unquote flaws in Terry's game of not the biggest, not like his speed is probably the most elite trait, but he's 4-3, you know, high 4-3s, not low 4-3s, right? He's not, you know, he's not the same explosive athlete as Ja'Marr Chase is, making $40 million a year and winning the Triple Crown. He's not the greatest separator. He's an awkward catcher of the football. But at some point, you also look at the 7 years of production and just go, yeah, and that's mattered exactly when? And like it, in some ways, Ben, I know you'll appreciate this as a basketball guy too. It's like it's kind of the Knicks Thibodeau thing. And even though I agree more with the Knicks firing Thibodeau than I do with the Commanders making some of these arguments about Terry McLaurin, it's like, oh, Tibbs doesn't play, he plays his starters too much, or he does this, or he's not flexible enough here. And it's like, okay, so does he not make the playoffs or lose in the first round every year? Oh, no, he just took us to the Eastern Conference Finals. And it's like, okay, well, then eventually we're missing something in the equation here, because that's pretty damn good. And that's kind of how I feel about Terry, is you can try to detail this up till the cows come home, but eventually you're so far into the forest, or so far into the trees, that you're missing the forest here. And that's kind of what I feel like is happening right now with Terry.
Yeah, and I'll just add on, like, if the age thing is a main part of the issue, you know, for to benefit Terry here, like, okay, sure, he's turning 30, but he doesn't have the wear and tear of a 30-year-old, largely, you know, again, because at Ohio State, he didn't play. Right. He wasn't like a 3-year starter or something, because, you know, they had so many guys, he was, you know, playing special teams and all that, so he doesn't have that type of issue. So, you know, he's arguably younger if we're talking mileage, but obviously, you know, again, how do you judge that for sure? It's hard to say.
It is. Ben Stanig's with us, Hoffman Show, here on the Team 980. Of course, Commanders beat reporter for The Athletic, the Last Man Standing podcast as well. You can check out wherever you get your pods. I believe he did a walk and talk with Nikki Javala today that did get crashed by Sam Fortier. Is that what I saw happening?
Yeah, she and I were trying to connect to do my podcast 4 different times over the last 36 hours, and things kept coming up. So we were just standing there, you know, BSing, watching practice. I'm like, hey, why don't you do this now? So we started to do it, and then like 6 minutes in, they canceled practice, and we had to go to work. So, but Sam Fortier took video, I believe, of that. I'm sure it'll win an Academy Award or something.
Yes, obviously an Academy Award, potentially also a Golden Globe, TBD on just how many awards that'll win from the cinematography of Sam Fortier. All right, so when you look at the rest of what you've seen over the last couple of weeks, and especially today in minicamp, these things are so hard to judge on any kind of big picture. But I kind of take a look at, like, oh, you know, even the play that where Debo scores the touchdown, right? It's like, that's a really nice play by Debo Samuel. I can evaluate Debo without, you know, while also saying, like, I don't know how good of a play that was for the offense, because it also took a bunch of times, and Ken Norton is yelling at Jaden Daniels after that, hey, man, you would have been sacked. Like, that didn't count. So is there anybody, you know, context notwithstanding, that has stood out to you, especially today on day one of the mandatory minicamp, that you're like, I'm really excited to watch that guy again tomorrow, and then when we get back out here in late July, early August?
Well, I will just say, to that point, if it's hard to figure out, you know, for certain positions, particularly on the line and the run game, it's borderline not even a discussion point, because there's no pads, no tackling. And the fact that Dan Quinn has like said that essentially multiple times, you know, when we've asked things like, how's, you know, the run defense looking relative to last year, or what about the offensive line? He's like, you know, all I can look at right now is the mental part of it. Do they know the playbook? You know, how hard are they working? Those types of things. So I think that's an important aspect of this. I mean, I will just say that, you know, I'm really intrigued in the running back room by Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt when they get to training camp. I just said that it's hard to gauge running backs, and that is true. I like the element that he brings of that, you know, one cut burst off the field, and he's a little bit bigger than I think I thought. You're just looking at the numbers, and I talked to Anthony Lynn the other day, the running back coach, and he kind of said the same thing. And I don't know, I'm not saying he's going to start or even necessarily crack the rotation since they brought back the three guys from last year. But he does bring an element that they don't have, and I'm curious to see if he gets more run, no pun intended, what that looks like going forward. The offensive line, again, I keep pointing out the things I just said are hard to gauge. But, you know, like, Laremy Tunsil was out there today. Tomorrow, I think I want to take a little closer look at how he's looking out there, just moving around. But, you know, we still have to wait to see, is Josh Connerly going to be the right tackle? They've been playing, you know, Andrew Wiley is still there. Brandon Coleman's been playing some guard. You know, how does that play out? And so on. And I think that's, again, we may not get a better feel for that until deep in the training camp or the preseason games, but I do want to see how that looks. And then, you know, I would just say cornerback. I think Trey Amos has had some pretty good moments, you know, all things, as he said, context appropriate moments. But Marshon Lattimore was out there today. You know, Dan Quinn told us no restrictions. You know, he's out there. Okay, well, I still want to see it, though. I want to see him, you know, run full speed. You know, does he, does he make it through every day? Do they have to, you know, restrict him at all in terms of his participation? Hopefully he can go because, you know, he and I think Jerron Payne to me are the two guys. How they go this season is the biggest variance is on the defense. If they are playing at good levels, then this team could definitely go up a notch or two from where they were a year ago. If they don't, then, you know, this team may not have any real difference makers or not many of them besides, like, say, Frankie Louvu. And now all of a sudden now you're looking at a team that's going to struggle to, you know, stop teams from moving the ball.
Ben Standig with us here on the Hoffman Show. When you look at the tight end room, Logan and I talked about it a little bit this morning on Take Command, and it's a really interesting room because they have just a bunch of freaky athletes in there beyond the guys that we think will probably make the team. Like Tyree Jackson, 6'7", walking around and moves great, former quarterback. You're like, man, that guy's – I don't know if it clicks like that. If that feels dangerous, you know, Colson Yankoff, obviously a great special teams player last year, and then all eyes beyond, you know, Zach Ertz just keeps finding his way open and is making plays all over the place. And you're like, okay, got that. Glad he's back. But Ben Sennett is the guy that I think is the wild card here. What have you not just seen Ben here in these couple of weeks of OTAs from Sennett, but what have you heard when you talk to other people about him in and around the building of kind of what didn't click for him last year and what you expect and what they expect going into this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think last year at the end of the day, they got, you know, way more out of Zach Ertz than they could imagine. Just his ability to play, you know, just being available for the whole season, you know, that did not seem likely based on his recent injury history. And obviously John Bates is going to be on the field in two tight end sets. He's the blocker. Benson is not big enough to really be that guy. And, you know, he's not as seasoned, obviously, as Zach Ertz as the pass catcher part. They use three tight ends at times, but not a ton. So, you know, he never really got any runway. You know, if Zach Ertz even misses, say, two games, you know, then that would be an opportunity for Sennett to get out there and show something as a pass catcher. But he's never really kind of got going, and you know, he did have the catch from Tressway in the postseason. But I wonder what's going to change this year. Like, it's hard to see a scenario. Again, Zach Ertz maybe misses games, but other than that, it's kind of hard to see a scenario where Sennett is, like, forcing his way into the lineup. You know, again, unless Ertz, you know, hits a wall and all of a sudden he's, you know, half the guy he was a year ago, which I'm not anticipating at this point. So I think that's kind of the rub. Sometimes it's, you know, he's just blocked by the other guys. But I think, you know, if he can be a little better as a route runner, you know, present himself as a viable target when he gets some open space, I think those things go a long way towards helping the cause. And look, if Zach Ertz does have a dip in play at all, you know, Sennett's obviously significantly younger, and, you know, they like his abilities as a pass catcher, as a, you know, a guy that they can line up in a bunch of different spots, including fullback. So, you know, there's a versatility aspect to him that could be intriguing, but I just, unless Zach Ertz gets hurt or, you know, misses time for whatever the reason, it's hard to just see how Sennett's getting on the field a lot, but hopefully he's still, you know, they like the development, so when the time comes, he's ready to go.
Yeah, the way he gets on the field to me is in two tight end sets where they want to run the football, and then obviously he'll get opportunities in the pass game, play actioning off of that. But you he needs to actually know what he's doing and do it at a high level in the run game in order to make that viable. And that is something that he struggled with at times last year. So that's a great point, because it's, you know, they're not just going to take Zach Ertz off the field just to be like, hey, send it, go out there and run around when Zach Ertz is as good as Zach Ertz has been. Ben Standick writing about all of this at The Athletic, the Commanders beat reporter for that fine outlet. And of course, check out the Last Man Standick podcast as well. Ben, appreciate your time, sir. Hope the traffic has relented and you are getting closer to home, and it is much better for you to and fro tomorrow.
I have made it to out of the traffic. I'm back to freedom. Very excited about that.
Excellent.
I appreciate that everybody is worrying about that. But yeah, so we're good. Thanks for having me on, Craig. And yeah, I'll see you out there.
All right, sounds good. That's Ben Standick with us here on The Hoffman Show. When we get back, our one turn away from the Commanders today to talk with someone who wrote one of the stories that powered our show yesterday. Big Baltimore Sun investigation into what went down at the University of Maryland that led to both the exits of athletic director Damon Evans and head basketball coach Kevin Willard. One of the writers of that story joins us next on Team 980.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.